Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey guys, jumping in real quick to tell you about the sponsor for this week's episode, the Satchel Podcast Player. If you like podcasts, you're going to want to check this out. There's no third-party ads, no on-screen ads, nothing like that. It's a great way to get connected with the content that you're listening to. You can even tweet directly into the podcast that you're listening to and even send a few dollars along to the podcast. For example, right now, if you like listening to Flash TV Talk, you could send us like, I don't know, $2, $3, $10, however much you feel like we're worth. You can do that directly in the Satchel Podcast Player. It's a great player. You got to check it out. If you're a podcaster, you can register your podcast at satchelplayer.com.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I am Bell.
Bell, man, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, my friend. Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I think we've got a great episode to talk about, one that has been just universally just blessed and so many great things to say about this episode. I think it's going to be a fun discussion. But first, we got some housekeeping items to take care of. And that is, you know, we've talked about it before, but we got this Twitch channel, twitch.tv/panel to screen, where we're playing DC Universe Online. Well, we've got this amazing, amazing, great deal where we're going to be giving away some codes. We've teased it out before, but now we're going to give you the details. What you need to do is join us Sunday, May 15th. Join us in game. Now, this is for the Xbox DC Universe Online. It's absolutely free to download, free to play. So you got no excuse if you got an Xbox One. Go ahead, download it, get on there. We're all going to meet up at Star Labs. So you got enough time between now and then to go on the game, find it, find out where Star Labs is. It's a really cool building. It's got these two big pillars, right? One of them has like this, telescope thing jutting out of it. The other one has like a flat top on this round dome egg looking thing. We'll all meet up on top of that egg looking thing. I'll take a screenshot and post it out on our Facebook page and Twitter just to kind of help make sure that everybody's there. But anyway, we're going to be doing a meetup there. If you can't join us in game, you can still tune into the Twitch stream at twitch.tv/panel to screen for the big Flash fan meetup in DCUO. That's DC Universe Online on Xbox. And while we will be doing that, we will be giving away these codes, which contain the DC Universe Online Ultimate Edition. We got two of those to give away and one 3 months of game time. Man, the DCUO Ultimate Edition, that's like almost like, I think that's like almost $100 value. It's a massive thing.
I know. It's nuts, dude. I'm kind of wanting to make a shadow account and like, you know, join in and be like, hey, I'm here, guys. Give me the code. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, Fast Bro's got everything.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good. So you'll probably be Fast Bro. I'll either be Mirror Bro or Cold Bro. I'm enjoying Mirror Bro so much, so I'll probably be him. But one way or the other, so y'all join us. It'll be a lot of fun. Again, that's this coming Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Time. We're going to meet up at Star Labs. Look, if you need directions, look on Facebook, look on Twitter. We'll post that out this week, so you'll be able to find it. We'll be looking for you. And again, if you can't join us in-game, you can tune in at twitch.tv/panel to screen. Should be a lot of fun. One last housekeeping item before we jump into the episode. Next week, I will actually be in Mexico enjoying a little much-needed R&R with the Mrs., so it should be a lot of fun. But fear not, because you will still have some Flash TV talk. In fact, our good friend Derek Russell from Starkville Labs will actually be joining Bell to host Flash TV talk next week. It is a possibility the episode might be out a day later than normal, but still, we will have it for you, and you will be able to enjoy it with probably far better commentary than anything that you've ever experienced. You think that I'm a geek when it comes to time travel? No. You don't know Derek Russell. Trust me.
See, I'm super excited for next week's episode. It's basically going to be an hour of us like talking about dimensional physics and stuff.
I think it's going to be nerd to the max. So you be sure to check it out, and we'll have that for you next week. That's all the housekeeping items out of the way. So, man, let's go ahead and jump into the rundown.
The Rundown.
Episode 21 of Season 2, The Runaway Dinosaur, directed by Kevin Smith and story by
Zach Stentz.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Jesse and Wally are found unconscious. Wally recovers, but Jesse remains in a coma. Meanwhile, Cisco has a vibe of Barry and realizes that he's still alive. Barry wakes up in his own bedroom and finds, quote, Joe downstairs. Joe explains what he really is, a physical manifestation of the Speed Force. Joe informs Barry that he cannot leave unless he catches a mysterious moving figure. Cisco and Wells create a path into the Speed Force so that Barry can escape, but Barry chooses to remain so that he can earn his powers back. As he pursues the figure, other Speed Force entities challenge Barry on what it means to be a hero and how he cannot become the Flash until he finally accepts his mother's death. Barry shares a moment with his, quote, mother, which allows him to finally catch the moving figure himself. His powers restored, and with help from Cisco and Iris, Barry returns to Star Labs to save the team from the reanimated corpse of Tony Woodward. Afterwards, Barry uses Speed Force energy to bring Jesse out of her coma. Across town, Zoom has assembled a metahuman army, which he plans to unleash on Central City.
Bum, bum, bum! Okay, so everybody has been talking about, you know, this is Kevin Smith's directorial debut on The Flash. That is, of course, Kevin Smith, beloved by many, if not all, geeks out there. Here's the thing. Kevin Smith did a fantastic job. But honestly, for me, for my money, my hat's off to Mr. Zach Stentz, because this right here, the writing in this episode, the way the characters interacted, the things they said, man, it made me so happy. Probably at the very top of my list. Well, we'll get to what's on the top of my list. But next to the top of my list is the fact that we had that scene where very specifically Cisco talks to Iris and I think Henry and says very specifically, no, that wasn't Harrison Wells last season. That was Eobard Thawne. I stood up in my chair. I applauded. I was like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling him by his real name. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because, you know, hearing Kevin Smith talk about this episode, he was like, A, I'm super happy that they allowed me to direct an episode, and B, the script that I get to direct by Zach Stentz is the best script that anyone would want to direct.
Exactly. Look, Zach Stentz, I mean, this guy has got some really famous screenplays under his belt. X-Men First Class. Ever heard of it?
No. Is that a movie about, well, I'm not going to make that joke because it's kind of rude, but anyway, X-Men First Class. Really? That's awesome. What else has he got?
Thor,
he wrote. I like Thor, man. Thor's awesome.
I liked The Dark World, but yes, I liked Thor.
I like
Thor
Dark World
well.
Too. Don't get me wrong, but like the first Thor is like, you know, it's so good. I want to throw my beer on the ground right now.
Another, yes, yes, indeed. Look, man, Zach, he did a fantastic job, and honestly, that scene made me so happy that you could just tell. I was like, you know what, something's different, because like this entire season, whenever they talk about Wells, quote unquote Wells from last season, they always refer to him as Wells as opposed to Eobard. So having the characters actually acknowledge that was Eobard Thawne, it's a rare thing. And I could tell somebody's been paying attention and somebody wants these characters to be, you know, as intelligent as the audience that's watching them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the writers before don't think that we think that they're intelligent. I'm just saying, good on you, Zach. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying
I get what you're saying. I can guarantee you that he's probably sitting there watching all these episodes going, why has no one addressed this?
Yes.
You know what? Screw it. I'm going to address
this. That's what I'm saying. I think this is what I'm saying. This is really what it gets down to. The other writers, they do a fantastic job. And to some extent with television, you know, especially some of these higher concepts, you got to make it consumable for the average viewer,
right?
Of which, you know, let's face it, you and I are not the average viewer. And probably the majority of people listening to this podcast are, you know, would fall more under the, you know, fan/fanatic in that category as opposed to just the average viewer. I'm saying that Zach is clearly one of us. That's the scene that we would write. You know what I mean? Like, that's the scene that somebody who's sitting there and every single time the word Wells comes up in reference to Eobard, it probably drives them crazy. So anyway, I'm making assumptions, but I want to say as much as we love Kevin Smith and as much as he did a fantastic directorial job and everybody's been talking about that, you cannot overlook Zach Stentz and what he brought to this episode.
And again, to reiterate, Kevin Smith also acknowledges this quite a bit. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, the thing about the script that's so wonderful is Zach really gets these characters. You know, like he really understands who the Flash is. He understands who Iris is. He understands these characters, not just from the comic books, but from the TV show.
Yep.
I think it's so excellent job.
All right, man. So the Runaway Dinosaur, also known as Barry Goes to the Speed Force, as we kind of knew.
Dude, where's my universe?
Dude, where's my physical corporeal body?
Yeah.
Dude, where's my mommy issues? So Barry goes to the Speed Force. You know, we speculated last week, of course, you know, we saw the preview, but even before we saw the preview, we got an inkling that Barry was not, of course, dead, that the title character did not kick it in that cataclysmic moment from last season, but in fact had become one with the Speed Force, or more specifically, he actually ended up in the Speed Force. Now, this is a different manifestation from the Speed Force that we've seen. You know, it is almost pulling from his memories. He ends up talking to a Wii. They never really say that.
I have an idea, but yeah, they never say who Wii is. At first, I thought it was the Watchers.
Yeah, right. When they said like we were here at the beginning of the, we were here at the beginning of the universe.
Yeah, we're here before the Big Bang, and we'll be here after the heat death of the universe. And I was like, are these the Watchers?
I know. Or the Guardians is kind of what I was
Guardians,
thinking.
Guardians, yeah. The Watchers, Marvel.
I was about to say. But yeah, no, the Guardians, man. They tied to the Green Lanterns and everything else. But no, I mean, as Barry starts asking these questions, he starts finding out that there is some sort of entity or some sort of embodiment of the Speed Force that he's actually talking to as he's working through and processing some of his internal issues. Now, we'll get into more of the higher concepts there later on in the episode. But for now, let's focus on the fact that he is dealing with, you know, his own personal hangups, right? His own mental blockades as they relate to, of course, the death of his mother. Now, this episode really, really honed in on that relationship. I mean, there was not a dry eye throughout. But man, what was your big takeaway from the Nora Allen return, the quote unquote, I suppose, Nora Allen return?
So we're speaking specifically of that scene?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole sequence in which he's actually in the Speed Force, I mean, he has some good interaction with, you know, not Joe / not Iris / not Henry. But really, it's all pushing him, right? It's all pushing him to the big moment, which is him and quote unquote Nora Allen.
Yeah. So that was really cool for me because, you know, they've been kind of, you know, hinting and dropping stuff here and there that there's nothing physically different between how Zoom, Eobard, and Barry run. Yeah, because they mentioned how, you know, the footsteps or stuff like that. I know they mentioned that at some point. But there's no physical difference between how they run, but Zoom and Eobard were still faster.
Okay.
And so that's why they
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they make the tachyon device. And once he gets the tachyon device, he's like super fast, you know, after that. But I was always thinking, I was like, well, there's something mental. They're going to have Barry's going to have something happen to him or have some realization where, that's what's going to be the blockade that's removed that allows him to run fast, that allows him to beat Zoom, that allows him to become this fully realized Flash. Him coming to terms with the death of his mother, I thought that was the perfect thing to do. Like just, you know, watching him talk to Nora, but it's not Nora, but he knows that. And at the same time, he doesn't care because, you know, it's kind of, the Speed Force is a really weird thing, and we'll talk about it later again.
the emotion, man. Let's get to the emotion. Yeah, science and OMG Speed Force and all that later, but the emotion, right? Because that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for him to have some closure, you know? Like I didn't know he never went to his mother's grave, like, and they show that, and it's like, yeah. Wow, that's huge. And just this powerful moment for him to actually finally sit down and have the conversation that he couldn't even have previously when he went back in time and visited his mother because she died too soon. Right.
Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say like, so, you know, he goes back in time. He can't save his mother. Then he has a conversation with her, but it's not what he needs. And this is what he needs. And this last come to mama talk, as it will, not necessarily come to Jesus, but a come to mama talk. It was great, man. It was just great. Gustin knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, powerful scene. Both the actress and the actor there doing just a fantastic job. Really bringing it home. I even found myself choked up. And I got to tell you, I'm not a big, you know, the whole mother son relationship doesn't really impact me as heavily. I don't know, for whatever reason that doesn't resonate with me. And so maybe I got my own mommy issues. For whatever reason, that's a through line that, you know, how do I put this? It was a powerful scene and it definitely even got me kind of emotionally involved with what was going on. But the thing is, Barry is not Batman, right? Barry is not Bruce.
No.
I'll put it this way. if Barry was Bruce Wayne, we would have flashpoints like all the time, right? Because he would constantly be trying to go back over and over and over again and save his parents. The fact of the matter is, we need a Flash with closure. I mean, yes, one way or the other. I mean, the death of his mom is always, he's always going to carry that, but he's always also going to carry the love of his mother as well. And so he needs kind of a sense of closure so that he can move past that and have kind of, to some extent, that mental block out of his way. You know, for Batman, it's a driving force, right? For Batman, it's this constant thing where he's, every single villain represents the faceless, you know, Joe Chill, that he can kind of imprint and push that rage on. Barry doesn't need that. Barry needs to strive towards more. Barry needs to strive towards hope. Barry needs to be more than, you know, kind of human limitations. And that's really what this was all about, in my opinion. With him kind of communing with the Speed Force, it was really about him projecting himself and propelling himself beyond his human limitations, the biggest of which is getting over mortality, and more specifically, you know, the death of his mother.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's one of those things where it's not just the death of his mother that he has to get over. It's the fact that these tragedies will follow him for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's going to be a hero and he's going to be the best hero that he can be, that's a realization that he has to come to terms with. And because he can't always be looking over his shoulder trying to save everybody. It's one of those things where, you know, they, like they say, where, you know, he valued his own life at more than his mother's. And then I want to say it was Henry or Speed Force Henry was like, well, what about all the people that you saved? Do their lives have no value?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this kind of thing here. So, you know, that's how the Flash is unlocked, as it were. You know, that's coming to the realization that tragedy will follow him because he is a hero, because he chooses to do good. People will, and because he's powerful, you know, people will come to challenge that. Kind of like in Civil War, you know, the whole through line through Civil War that Vision was talking about. So yeah, this is what the Flash needs in order to become a fully realized hero. And just what a better way than to have this super emotional moment with Nora.
Let me ask you this. Is The Runaway Dinosaur an actual book?
Quickly, Google.
Let's see, because I was just Googling that myself. And of course, all you can find is the chat room, help us out here. Is that an actual book?
I don't think it is.
You know, it seems so.
The entire first page of Google results
is
all Flash. So it's not.
And I'm looking on Amazon and I can't find it there either. So this is not a real book, but I mean, yeah, so that's the thing. Lex Mercury in the chat is comparing it to the Runaway Bunny. And that's kind of what I was wondering. So was this like a DC analog for the Runaway Bunny?
Oh, it has to be, dude. Look at this. Yeah, the cover's the same looking thing.
Well, and the storyline's the same as well, right? So, I mean,
I don't know. That's what I'm looking at.
You never read The Runaway Bunny? Your mama never read you The Runaway Bunny?
My mama read me The Back of a Belt until I read the back of my eyes.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know.
We're sorry, Bell's mom. He's just, that's not accurate. All right.
My parents just, you know, left me in my yurt in the backyard. And,
that's
I taught myself to read The Runaway Bunny.
That's terrible. That is terrible. Zach Stentz, Brett in the chat is saying that Zach Stentz has said that it is in fact based off The Runaway Bunny. But I will say this, the comparison, The Runaway Dinosaur, does have somewhat of a double meaning here, because not only is it this book, in reference to this book that you know, Barry shares a special moment and special memory with his mother on, but also kind of a reference to what's going on back in the real world with a runaway former villain, right? So here we have
season one,
a zombified Girder. So who would win in a fight, Girder, Colossus, or Zombie Girder?
Colossus, hands down, because Colossus has what we like to call in the medical community higher brain functions.
You must wake up and be hero with your higher brain functions.
4 or 5 moments.
That is all it takes when you go against a zombie.
Wake up, hero. Brush teeth, hero. Eat breakfast, hero.
Zombie Girder is on the scene here. Now, they say Cisco kind of makes some comments here, right? So what they did with kind of jump-starting the particle accelerator or the kind of the Speed Force backlash or something reactivated his brain? Or reactivated his body, I guess?
the dark matter and all that kind of stuff and the electricity, the dark matter plus the electricity, yeah, I guess since the brain had been dead for so long, all the higher functions weren't there, and so it just sort of reanimated this like basal like survival mode lizard brain basically. And I think that's what he was running off of.
Man, creepy stuff. What a cool concept. Like having a zombie that can also turn to metal.
Dude, I tell you what, I was really seriously, that would be horrifying, right? But I was really confused when he came back because I'm sitting there and I'm so caught up in this episode and all the stuff that's going on with the Speed Force that like I forgot in the previous episode that they, you know, detonated the particle accelerator explosion.
Yeah, that totally happened.
Yeah, like I was just remembering that Barry was gone and they were looking for him, and I didn't even think about that that Jesse and Wally had gotten affected by this. I didn't even think about anything else being affected by it. And then all of a sudden Zombie Girder shows up. I'm like, wait a second. How is he back? And why do they have him there? And then that's when Cisco kind of chimes in. He's like, I guess the dark matter, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh yeah, that right. There's an explosion last episode.
Right. They got more metahumans. Like actually you predicted that would happen.
Yeah, I did. I also predicted a couple things that we'll talk about later when we actually get to that. Uh-huh. But yeah, I re-listened to the episode last week just to kind of confirm the things that I was thinking or that I might have called. I got some pretty good guesses in there.
Yeah, you got some good ones in, man. So Girder creates a good opportunity.
Sorry, Solomon Lex Girder. Mercury in the chat, Solomon Girder.
Wow, well done.
Born on a Tuesday, died on a Tuesday, reanimated on a Tuesday.
Because the Flash comes on Tuesday.
Thank you. I'm glad you followed me on there.
Excellent. Very good. So Girder, Undead Girder provides a really interesting kind of revisiting of the character without a rehashing of the character, and also puts the heroic team sans Flash in a pretty good predicament, right? Because this is a villain with a personal vendetta against Iris, or at least a personal interest in Iris, we should say. And also somebody that despite Cisco Tech, they were unable to defeat. So having, you know, there was a kind of a moment where Cisco was like, I'm out of ideas. And I'm kind of like, you know, turn to the dark side, use the force push thing. You got more. I'm kind of like for a minute there. I mean, it would have taken away from, you know, Barry's reentry into the world. But I was thinking about the fact that, you know, Cisco is being put more and more in these moments where, you know, he theoretically anyway should be able to step up. You mean like is Cisco, here's the question, is Cisco holding himself back still? Or does he really not realize that he has the, you know, he's got the power.
Doop, 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 doop. Yeah, no, he's totally holding himself back. But I don't think that anyone outside of Barry is going to be able to convince him to not be afraid of his powers.
Yeah.
No, because no one else if you don't have powers, it's going to be hard to convince somebody with powers that, you know, to listen to you. Right. You know, because it's like, well, you don't have powers. You don't know what it's like. And you didn't see your doppelganger and your doppelganger wasn't evil. You know, all those things.
Yeah, there's a point to that. It may also help him to actually see, you know, alternative or other metahumans that are not villains, right? I mean, you know, we talked about it last week, but after the big particle accelerator, both Wally and Jesse get hit with this blast. That, you know, it's I think it's safe to say that this is, if not the direct moment, is definitely a moment that will lead to them both being speedsters. You know, so the question I suppose is, are they speedsters? You know, Joe makes some estimates in terms of Wally. He starts asking him questions. Wally thinks he's talking about puberty. It's pretty funny.
yeah, that was a good moment.
I love that when he's like, all right, we'll just do this the hard way. And then he drops the, the coffee mug. And for a brief moment, the screen kind of slows down. Did you notice that?
I didn't.
He drops the coffee. The coffee's going down. Right before it hits the floor, it kind of slows down into kind of flash time. I think the camera focuses on the coffee, but in the background is Wally's head turning and looking at the coffee. Here's the question, man. Is Wally right now, is he a speedster? Yes or no?
Man, you know, when Jesse got in the coma and Wally didn't, I was like, no. I mean, I want to see Jesse quick, but I'd much rather see Wally West, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I think having both of them be speedsters would be really, really cool. But it, right now, it doesn't kind of look like it. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be something where, yes, Wally was exposed to it, and yes, it has to have done something to him, but it's either going to be like a slow progression on him, I don't know, like finding out that he has powers or something. But like right now, it's not going to happen soon, I don't think. I mean, maybe... We only have, what, two more episodes left?
Yeah, and I mean, they've said, although I do think it may be a little bit of a mislead that we shouldn't expect Wally to get his powers anytime soon. I think that's a bit of a mislead. I believe that Wally, he's got access. I would even say that he might even know that something's different about him. I mean, he didn't act like anything's different about him, but I just... There was a moment where the coffee just slow mode fall. Step in chat room. Y'all saw that, right? I'm not totally crazy here.
Well, see, I'm wondering though. So, okay. This, here we go. Jesse Quick. Once they defeat Zoom, I have the feeling that Harrison and Jesse are going to go back and that Jesse will be the Kid Flash of Earth 2 with the Jay Garrick Flash / the Man in the Iron Mask. And they'll be the duo over there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And something is, I don't know, maybe season finale, Wally's like, all of a sudden just going to like pass out. And they're gonna be like, what's going on? And then Barry's going to like, you know, go over to like go grab him or something like that. And then they're going to see the spark like we saw with Jesse.
All right. And well, then, yeah, but here's the thing, man.
Credits roll, right?
So all right. So a couple things though. So yes, I definitely, you know, the Jesse, kind of becoming a Kid Flash on Earth 2. I'm down with that concept. I definitely think that's probably the case. Here though, with Wally doesn't have to go through the exact, even though he did in the comics, he doesn't have to go through the exact same process here that Barry went through. Because Barry got struck directly by that lightning, right? Whereas yeah. with what we got with Wally and Jesse is more of a wave of something.
Speed Force.
Well, it's a wave of Speed Force and I you know, honestly,
and dark matter and stuff.
Well, but see, the dark matter doesn't play as much into this, I don't think. I think it really comes down to the Speed Force. I think that lightning, to some extent, I mean, I would even say very specifically, that lightning was the Speed Force that struck Barry. But the lightning struck, or the Speed Force, if you will, struck Wally and Jesse differently from the way that it struck Barry. So we can't assume that it would have the exact same reactions. Now, yes, we do see Jesse going into the coma just like we saw Barry, but Jesse is also of Earth 2. She has a different she's different physiologically than Wally is, being from a different Earth. The other thing too is that Wally has the potential. If they you know, go kind of, at least with the original Wally West, Wally has the potential to go faster than Barry, right? So theoretically, he could kind of speed through that coma real quick without it even looking like it. You know what I mean?
Okay, technically, when they found them, they were both unconscious.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe Wally, since, you know, maybe, yeah, he just, like, his coma was super short because Speed Force.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that's the case, man. Now the other factor too is it could be that they've both got it, but it needs to be fully switched on, right?
By Barry touching them?
Well, that happened.
Did Barry touch Wally though?
No, Barry touched Jesse and it woke her up. Now the question is, did the Speed Force heal her because Speed Force healing powers, which is dangerous in terms of storytelling to have that kind of power set. Or was it specifically?
Well, that's what it is in DCUO. Well, lightning is a healing set.
Yeah, I've never fully got why they decided to use lightning as a healing power. But one way or the other, you're right, it is. But here's the deal. Is it because Speed Force equals healing, or is it because she's a speedster? Therefore, he kind of activated her own Speed Force self-healing.
What? So, okay, hold on. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but
wrong.
Someone else got shocked when they touched Barry. Was it Iris?
Oh, wait. Yeah, she got shocked by Barry once. Yeah, but that was just that was more of like jogging a memory for her. It wasn't related to her being healed. Although I'm starting to remember, didn't he heal somebody once in season one?
No, he defibrillated Sisko.
That's what it was.
But that was using lightning to start his heart with electricity, which is right. Like a, you know, scientific thing, right? You know, that's less Speed Force and more just regular science, not even OMG science.
Yeah,
but I think the Speed Force in Barry, when he touched Jesse, recognized, if you will, the Speed Force in Jesse, and it was like, oh yeah, it's time to wake up now.
Yeah, I think there's something there. I think it was less about him healing her and more about him activating something within her, or more specifically, the Speed Force activating something within her. So, yeah,
something that she didn't have prior to the explosion, though, right?
Well, yeah, something she didn't have prior to the explosion. Yes,
So what happens? I want to see Barry touch Wally.
That came across. Sanford.
Yes. Okay. Come on, come on, come on, come on! Now touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? But yeah, I want to see if the same thing happens to Wally that happens to Jesse when Barry touched Jesse.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll just go with it. I see what you're going with it, and yes, I agree.
What happens when Barry touches him?
Oh my gosh! We are not this kind of show, sir. Got to pull it on back.
And we're live.
We are live. So some things happened at the end episode here that are pretty monumental. One of which is the revelation or the decision of Henry Allen to stay. Now,
he did.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, what?
This whole episode was like, you got to accept tragedy. Tragedy's going to happen. People die. It's the people you save. That's all you care about. And that's why you do it. Henry's dead. he's dead.
I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be here. I mean, it is really sad, but I mean, like, the writing is definitely on the wall. I hate that, man. John Wesley Shipp is, I mean, and again, this is speculation, but
unless through some crazy science, ohm genius, the Man in the Iron Mask is like an older Jay Garrick, who looks like
Henry Allen,
John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. It could be. I mean, we talked about that as a potential, you know, a twist on the twin theory, where the Jay Garrick of Earth 2 is actually the twin brother of Henry Allen of Earth 2. So that his twin brother is Jay Garrick over there. I mean, there's still it's a possibility. It's a possibility, and it'd be a nice way to keep John Wesley Shipp. I mean, I think it doesn't quite fit and some of the flashback sequences that we've gotten, but there is kind of a way they could explain around it if that's the case. But yeah, I think unfortunately, I got excited for a moment there because I was like, oh, Henry Allen, we're going to keep John Wesley Shipp. And then I realized, oh no, we're at episode 21 of the second season. And we just got an entire hour long episode about how Barry has to accept loss. Oh no, he's going to die. Yeah. It's so sad. Yeah. So that's,
I was like, oh man, that's terrible. I couldn't even, like, you know, utter in my brain, oh, that's awesome, Henry Allen's going to be around. I was like, oh, that's not awesome. That's terrible. Henry is dead.
Yeah. So sad. But I will tell you this, man, this episode, you know, at the beginning of this episode, I was talking about one of my favorite things overall. Something that I've waited for, that I've been hoping for, that I've longed for to see in this show since the pilot, man, is this lightning rod concept. You know, when they were trying to get Barry, you know, vibes into the Speed Force and looks for him. And then they've determined that they need to, you know, someone else should call him through. Joe steps up and says, you know, I'll get him. Or his dad did. Either Joe or Harry did, or Harrison did. And they kind of,
it's Henry Allen. Yeah.
So Henry and Joe were kind of going back and forth in terms of who should actually go. And for a minute there, I was like, no, guys, no. And then Iris steps up and I'm like, yes, yes. Honestly, I was like, you know, hands in the air, touchdown. I've been looking forward to this for a long, long time. I've been saying it since the beginning, man. She's his lightning rod. And I mean, that's true to the comics. It's not like I made up that concept. But I'm so glad to see that introduced into the television universe. And to establish, I mean, it's great because it's established now in even further in their conversation that they had while he was at his mother's grave. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on between us. I don't know exactly what our relationship is now, but, you know, but I will always come back to you, right? They hint at the fact that there is a tie here that goes beyond anything else. And even in the midst of their uncertainty in terms of their relationship, you know, there is still this connection that, you know, they have each other, and that she can be the tie to the real world that he, as a speedster, as in fact the speedster, must have, especially as he gets faster, especially as he returns to the world after communing with the Speed Force and gets to a new, like a higher level in his power set. I was so stoked about this, man. Favorite moment of the entire episode. I know everybody was talking about, you know, the Mama Allen scenes, and those were powerful and those were great. But for me, the big moment of the episode was that connection of Iris pulling him away from the Speed Force and back into the real world.
Yeah, and that's another thing that just shows how much Zach Stentz understands these characters. Is like, he gets that whole lightning rod thing. And everything Iris does in this show is she's taking charge. She's she's the one who comes up with the idea. It's like, I'm going to be the bait for this trap. Sisko's sitting there when Tony first breaks out and he's like, get behind me. And she's like, no, you get behind me. and then the lightning rod thing is just, you know, Iris in this episode was flawless. It was great.
Yeah. All right. So Jared and the first of the chat, there's some kind of discussion about, you know, since Barry was going to come back anyway, did they kind of fail in this application? I would say no. I would say that this actually is the establishing moment. The fact that she was his connection in that moment, like they put a lot of emphasis on that scene. Right. When they're both in the Speed Force and they're holding hands, the lightning's coming down. I would actually say that this is actually what establishes her as his lightning rod going forward. So no, I don't see that as a kind of a failed application. I would actually say that this establishes it more beyond just an emotional connection. This is the groundwork. This is their origin story, if you will, in terms of that aspect of their relationship. So yeah, no, anyway, I just wanted to kind of put that out there. I thought they did a really great job with it. That's that. Last bit from this episode before we jump into speedster speculation. At the very tail end of the episode, we get reminded that, oh yeah, Caitlin is kidnapped by Zoom, and oh yeah, Zoom is in control of the city. Because this whole episode, with everything going on in the Speed Force and a lot of higher concepts and them being locked in the in Star Labs, you kind of forget about the fact that last episode Zoom did actually take over the city. And did you forget that Caitlin existed this episode?
I did. And then I was like, oh yeah, Caitlin.
Right. I hate that, because I like what Caitlin can be, but there's just so much more going on right now. And until she becomes Killer Frost, she's kind of boring. Can I say that? I know a lot of people love Caitlin, and I'm not trying to poo-poo her. I think she's a great character. But she is kind of in this almost holdover stage where it's either they're going to make her a villain or she's just another scientist, which they've got like 30 of those.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the whole thing where she doesn't know Barry's back. And so what is she going to choose? You know, because in her mind right now, it's pretty much certain death if she leaves Zoom, because Zoom is the only reason why everyone else on the show is alive right now, basically. And yeah, it's one of those like, will she, won't they kind of, or will she, won't she kind of things. And I don't know. I'm just not that interested in it, because I'm way more interested in this whole like Speed Force thing. And, yeah, you know, Barry realizing his true potential. And I mean, having Henry there being, you know, your doctor guy, as opposed to Caitlin, you know, he filled that role. And so I just didn't really miss her that much.
Yeah. Although, you know, once he's gone, that's a good point. I don't know that it did kind of almost take me out of it. Like, oh yeah, I forgot about all this going on. But we did get a chance to see this army of rogues, this army of metahumans that Zoom has amassed in the police department in Earth One. Now I freeze framed it and I actually posted out a picture on Twitter. I don't see anybody in here that really, I can't, you know, there's somebody in there that's wearing like a hat and almost looks like a kind of like a Scarecrow Sandman amalgam. I'm thinking that what we got here was a lot of kind of amalgam characters. There's even a guy that looks like Deathstorm, but with green fire.
Yeah. And I saw some, what is it called? Like staves that were glowing and like weapons and things.
Right. Right.
Let's see here.
Looks like there was somebody flying around with wings. Basically, I think what we got was Every single effect that they have created and perfected over the course of this Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow, they just threw all into one shot and kind of twisted them a little bit. There's also kind of a cool character that looks like they're wearing like a yellow hood with glowy red eyes. It's really interesting. Kind of looks like...
One of them looks like the Dark Avengers Miss Marvel.
But that's, oh, yeah, I see that.
Right there by Truth, in between Truth and Liberty.
Right. Yeah, no, I see it. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And I mean, that's Marvel. That's kind of weird.
No, I mean, but I think what we were seeing here is not necessarily, and I could be wrong, but I don't think we're actually seeing any characters that are actual DC characters. I think we're just getting kind of a lot of metahumans that will essentially be cannon fodder for what's to come. Barry is going to have a lot on his plate, right? He's going to now have to take on an entire army. Now, he's super powered and beyond anything that he was before. However, he might need some help of some additional speedsters. And additional speedsters helping him is kind of what I want to talk about, man, especially...
But wait.
Yeah.
There's more. I'm not leaving the discussion of this episode until we talk about Jason Mewes and what is probably the greatest cameo...
Son of Jor-El, kneel before Zod!
Snoochie boochies.
Actually, I had that in listener feedback. Somebody made a comment. I figured we'd save it for that. But okay. All right. No. Snooch to the booch. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I love Jason Mewes, and I am so excited that he had a cameo on there, and it was just hilarious. Like, the Big Belly Burger in Coast City is so much better. And then good old zombie Girder decides to destroy his mom's car.
No, it's funny. I mean, like, you know, I like Jay and Silent Bob as much as the next guy, but I'm also not like a super fan. So seeing Jason Mewes in my Flash isn't like, yay. It's more just kind of like, hey, you know what I mean?
So and that is why you fail.
I suppose so, man. I suppose so. yes, of course. Jay, Jay was not the only Jay that we saw this episode.
That's true.
Right. So there you go. Although technically Jay wasn't even Jay because Jay was Hunter. So Jay was the only Jay we saw this episode.
Technically correct is the best kind of correct.
I like it. All right, man. No, but let's talk about speedsters. Let's talk about the Speed Force. In fact,
speedster speculation.
Speedster speculation, man. So there's not really necessarily as much a question as it is just kind of a let's talk about the Speed Force. Because this episode, we got into kind of some existential stuff with the Speed Force. You know, yes, we got into old Barry needing to find himself and to let go of his pain and all that kind of good stuff to get through his own mental blocks. But I'm curious about the voices, man. All like this entity that he was talking to that referred to itself as a we, not as an I, but as a we. And also was heavily implied by Barry and then also kind of almost confirmed by this voice to be the living embodiment of the Speed Force. What's going on there, man?
Well, so here's what I thought. At first, I was thinking the Guardians, and I was like, is Hal Jordan going to pull him out of the Speed Force? That'll be weird. And I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then when they kept saying we, and they're talking about, you know, when Barry said this is kind of a conversation with gravity, I immediately started thinking, well, what happens when the speedsters die? Because the Speed Force seems to exist outside of time and space.
Mm.
And so what I was thinking, because that's what Speed Force Joe was talking about. He's saying, you know, we're there before the beginning of the universe. We'll be there at the heat death, the end of the universe. So what I started thinking was what happens when speedsters die? And it's like, well, I think they integrate with the Speed Force. And so what I think the we that they're referring to is pretty much every speedster in history has become this singular group consciousness that's integrated into the Speed Force.
I like where you're thinking. I'll take it even a step further. I'm down with you there. I think it's not just every speedster from history. I think it's also every speedster from the future as well.
That the future would encompass history.
Oh, well, there you go.
Future, past, everything. Yeah. In all of existence, every speedster ever, when they die, they incorporate into the Speed Force and they make this sort of like hive mind collective.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about this last week, this, the character from Kingdom Come, which is a combination. It's an embodiment of the Speed Force that goes by the name of Wally West, but, you know, is only kind of Wally West in quotations. And the idea here is that exactly what you're talking about. It's this entity of a combination of Barry Allen, Wally West, and in fact, Jay Garrick. And so I'm with you, man. I think that, which would make a little bit of sense, right? That when this voice is talking to Barry, especially in the form of his mother, and it says, you know, and is that coming from the Speed Force or is it coming from my mother? And she says both. You know, there's kind of a question. Well, is his mother part of this same entity, or is this more of like a, you know, an aspect of Barry Allen who acknowledges the fact that his mother would still be proud of him? You know what I mean? Like, is it him giving himself closure, or are we to believe that Nora Allen is actually one with the Speed Force as well?
Well, what I thought when I heard that was that Barry is the one who created the Speed Force through something we have not seen yet, through some, like,
from what, he is from always, what Nora said.
Yeah. When Barry asked Nora, is this my mom or is this the Speed Force? And she said both. Then I was starting to think, well, you know, Barry is really the first person to tap into the Speed Force. Perhaps he is the one who created it inadvertently to himself through some sort of weird paradoxical thing we haven't witnessed yet. So he struck himself with lightning because he created the Speed Force.
Right.
And it transcends time and space. And so since Barry created it, Barry would know what his mother would think of him.
No, I'm down with you on that. If I'm following you correctly, then I agree. And I think you're right. I mean, I like the idea of Barry being the lightning, of Barry being kind of the creation of the Speed Force, and thus, you know, everything else that permeates from it. He's kind of at the center, right? But both kind of past and present, and has become this entity. You know, I think he even says, so it's like I'm talking to gravity, right? Because the Speed Force in this universe is so tied to kind of the elements, right? There's almost like an elemental plane where you know he essentially was. And so this is really kind of an intervention with himself, but himself completely transcended.
Yeah, like this is the ultimate final form, if you will, of Barry Allen, is this just giant consciousness of power, the Speed Force.
But not just Barry Allen, but Wally West, maybe even Jesse Quick.
Any and all speedsters in every Earth, in every existence.
Well, okay, in every Earth. That's I wonder about that, though. I wonder about that. Do you think that...
Well, I mean,
does each Earth have its own Speed Force? You know what I mean? Like,
well, each Earth has its own gravity, but I mean, like,
yeah,
is that gravity separate from the gravity on our Earth?
Yeah, therein lies. All right, so
because, well, it's a separate universe, so you could assume that even though the force is the same, it's different because it's a different universe entirely. Like, if you think of all the universes as different bubbles, the bubbles don't overlap; they're independent of one another. So each one has its gravity. Each one has its strong nuclear force. Each one has weak nuclear force. All these different forces, right? They're the same, but they're not they're in a different universe.
The first in the chat throws this out. He says, if the Speed Force exists outside of time and space, then it should include all Earths. And, you know, that's true, theoretically. Also, you know, a good point to that is that Harrison Wells of Earth 2 seems extremely knowledgeable about the Speed Force, right? So he would have had to have some knowledge of the Speed Force on his Earth, or perhaps as it relates to kind of a connected tissue between Earths as well. So yeah, I could go either way on that one. It'll be interesting to see as we learn more about it. I'm kind of, for me personally, I hope if we get a return of these entities, right, of these voices, it's much later on in the series, and we actually see some sort of like some sort of representation of this being that's shifting between Wally and Barry and Jesse and whomever is a speedster at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, man. Do you want to see this entity return?
Like the
Speed Force Guardians, whatever this is. Do you want to see this thing return?
In what context?
Any context.
Well, because I think there's context where it could be interesting, but like, I don't want it to, you know, Barry's having trouble and all of a sudden, you know, the Speed Force Joe shows up and like helps him do stuff. I think it would be an interesting concept to something where like he could go, because he doesn't have a tutor anymore, right? And if Harry leaves at the end of the season to go back to Earth 2 once they've defeated Zoom, he's going to be left without a mentor. I think it would be really neat and a really interesting opportunity for all the actors on the show for him to be able to travel to the Speed Force as kind of like a way for him to talk to the Oracles, so it were.
Interesting.
So,
well,
yeah, like,
well, in all fairness, he's not going to Gideon for she's kind of like an Oracle.
Yeah, for real. So, you know, he's not utilizing Gideon. He's not doing that kind of stuff. So I think it'd be really neat if, you know, because as we speculated earlier, pretty sure Henry Allen's going to die.
Yeah.
If Harry goes back to Earth 2, then who is going to be his mentor if we don't get a J. Garrick staying behind?
He might not need one. I guess I think that part of this whole experience was kind of him meeting his mentor was himself, right? And what he found was himself. Like, this might be his kind of full realization of his power and may come to the point where he doesn't need a mentor. Maybe he's in a position, to become the mentor. Step in, you know, perfect relationship building for a kid Flash to come in who needs a mentor, right? So next season, he's more of the, you know, the H. Geobard to Barry of season one, or to the Joe to Barry, or the J. Garrick, or whomever you will, the Harry of Earth 2. Basically, he gets the chance to be the mentor to a mentee, which is Wally West coming into his own as a speedster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be interesting. I would like to see that, but Just thinking from an interesting perspective of you have all these actors and they, you know, you want to keep using them because they're great actors. You could have Tom Cavanaugh play a Speed Force Harrison Wells.
No, that's true. And I would be surprised. I think that Tom Cavanaugh is going to stick around even if we lose Harrison Wells of Earth 2. I could be wrong about that, but I'm just going to float that out there. We'll just have to see what ends up coming. But one way or the other, man, yeah. For me, I like this. This was a very special episode. We got a lot this episode, but there's also a kind of a lot of unanswered questions. And I think I don't want to spend too much time here again. I do want to come back, but I don't want to do it too often. Like, I like the speculation. I like kind of trying to figure out exactly what's going on. And my hope is that next time that we actually see these voices again, it's after we've actually gotten some other established speedsters in, so that we can see some sort of variant of that Kingdom Come Flash, where they're all kind of shifting back and forth, right? So they're all, it becomes more apparent that yes, in fact, this is the voice of speedsters past, present, and future as they exist as the Speed Force. So I think something like that would be cool, but
like end of season three kind of stuff where, you know, the big bad Barry's gotten beaten, but like he comes back as this, you know, just crazy blur that's just all these Speed Force entities fighting the bad guy or something like that.
Well, I would even say not even end of season three, but more like end of season 5, 6, 7, 10. Like once they get closer to the very end tail end of the series, then bring this entity back into play. Like I really want them, if they go to this well, I want it to be sparingly because I want it to be as special as it was. And if he does that too much, it's gonna lose its specialness.
Yeah, I don't want this to be like, you know, 3 or 4 times a season thing, like once a season sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So cool. So cool. Great episode. Great fun stuff involved here.
Your thoughts. Your comments. Listener feedback.
We got some great listener feedback this week, but first we want to mention our sponsor for this episode, the Satchel Podcast Player. If you like podcasts, you're going to want to check out Satchel. If you go to satchelplayer.com, you can download it for your Android smartphone device. You can sign up to be part of the exclusive beta on iPhone at satchelplayer.com. And hey, if you've got a podcast and you want to register it through Satchel, you go to satchelplayer.com and click on register. Pretty easy. It's a great podcast player. You can donate to help support podcasts that you love. You can also tweet into the podcast as you're listening to it, and a lot of great other things as well. Stay tuned for more information about what's going on with Satchel, but stay tuned for your listener feedback as well. All right, man, we got some great comments about this episode this week. We actually put it out there on Facebook, and I pulled a few of them to read and share. Michaela wrote in saying, I love it, talking about this episode. I love that Barry was able to accept his mother's death. He definitely became a new person with the Speed Force. Very touching for him to read the book with his mother, quote-unquote mother. Loved Grant Gustin as always. Next one up, Adam J. said, everyone is going to talk about how this episode made them, quote, feel, when really the highlight was Jay walking out of the Big Belly Burger. Hashtag Snoochie Boochies. There you go, Bell. Adam wasn't going to let it pass.
Thank you, Adam.
Brett R. says, best episode so far. So some great listener feedback in terms of this week's episode. We also got an email. Bell, you want to read us that email?
Yeah, William Marchbanks writes, okay, so my theory on the Reverse Flash, the season one finale, did not pan out. But one thing about it has always stayed with me. The only way for the timeline to have stayed intact is if the Reverse Flash was not erased, but rather evaporated into energy or particles, and some form of him still remains alive and therefore reserving his influence on the timeline. Perhaps not in a physical body, but alive. What if the Reverse Flash was sucked into the Speed Force this whole time and Barry is now at that same place as pure energy? Can you imagine the Flash having to fight two formidable enemies such as Zoom and the Reverse Flash? What if the major villain for season three is a Thawne Zoom team up? That would be really interesting. One would think some extra speedsters would be needed to take them down. Extra speedsters like, say, Kid Flash, aka Wally West, and Jesse Quick. Interesting. So we saw that the mysterious person he was chasing in the Speed Force this episode was actually him. He had to come to terms with himself. So that's kind of like the message there, I guess you could say. But that would be interesting if Eobard is trapped in the Speed Force, but like the thing, you know, he couldn't return from the Speed Force because he couldn't overcome whatever problem he had to overcome in order for the Speed Force. I don't know. The Reverse Speed Force might act on different
negative Speed Force.
Yeah, or negative Speed Force might act on some different principles, though.
Yeah, on the one hand, we know that, you know, early Eobard, or Eobland, as we named him. Eobland from earlier in his personal timeline is still in the Speed Force. However, I'm tracking with you. I mean, yeah, I've been speculating and kind of hoping since all hope, since before even season two began, that yes, in fact, Eobard that we know and love, the Eobard that evaporated at the end of season one, that his soul or his spirit still exists connected to the negative Speed Force. I think that's the case. I mean, I honestly, at some point, we're going to see him return. I know it. I just know it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's got to.
So that's good stuff. Thanks for sending that in, Marchbanks. We really appreciate that. Also on iTunes, we got an iTunes review in from D-Town Pistons fan. He said, easily my favorite Flash podcast. Entertaining, passionate, knowledgeable, hilarious. These are just a few words that I would use to describe myself. This podcast is pretty cool too, though.
Oh, that's a great review.
Oh, man. Thank you, D-Town. I appreciate that. And hey, we can actually give away some stuff, man, because we've actually got in between episodes, we actually went over a multiple of 10. And, you know, whenever we get over a multiple of 10 iTunes reviews, we actually give away a free digital comic.
Yes, we do.
All right. Are you ready to find out who our winner for the free digital comic is this week?
Drum roll, please. Drum, 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 drum.
Tron 290.
Nice. Way to go, Tron 290. You're getting yourself a free digital comic.
Yeah. Thank you so much for writing this review. And hey, that just because you didn't win this week doesn't mean you can't win in the future. Every time we get a multiple of 10, we go back to that well. So you're in it until you win it. Tron 290, get in touch with us. We'll get you hooked up. And I tell you what, man, in the meantime, we want to encourage you to follow us in between episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at Flash TV Talk.
But if 140 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and daily discussions on all things Flash, be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
Do you like Legends of Tomorrow?
Are we really doing this?
Do you like the Legends of Podcasting?
I mean, yeah.
Well, do you like YouTube format shows?
When they come out?
Well, then you'll love Legends TV Talk.
Maybe.
Where we occasionally review 2 to 3 episodes of Legends of Tomorrow at a time in a funky, fresh YouTube format. So come see me, come see Bo, come see the Legends of Podcasting. Talk about your favorite show, Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, check it out. It's on the Podastery YouTube channel, Legends TV Talk. You can also find the podcast feed on iTunes. It's somewhere out there. Good friends over at Starkville Labs, Supergirl TV Talk, the Arrow/Gotham guys. We're all doing it together. A lot of fun. when we do it, I think we'll probably end up just having one kind of final episode to kind of wrap up the entire first season with just kind of general thoughts. But
like six episodes being covered.
Yeah, yeah, it got tough to follow, man. I'm not gonna lie, it got tough to follow. But one way or the other, we got Flash TV Talk coming out every single week. Next week, we're gonna have Derek Russell standing in for me, which should be a lot of fun. Don't forget the details on the Xbox Live DC Universe Online meetup. Join us twitch.tv/panel to screen this coming Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Time. We want to see you. We want you to see us. And we want to give you some free game time. It's going to be awesome. Be there. We hope you win. Also, special thanks goes out to our boy Charlie Bach for providing our outro music. And even though I will be gone, Belle will be back in a flash.